Cinquegna, va di Chihuahua.
Cinquegna,
welcome back to the Up North podcast. I'm Sarah Yakub.
And I'm Kirk Bangstad, and Pat Kreitlow is off this week, and so it's a ragtag group we've pulled together here. We played what's the Lion King, Circle of Life, because we got Beth here, who's a parent protecting her cubs in the Elmbrook School District. Safe Open Schools. The Elmbrook Parents for Safe Open Schools in Waukesha County. We thought that the Lion King song would be a good, it would give you a little fortitude, Beth. But
I love it.
All right. So the story of how I found Beth is she wrote a really eloquent Facebook message to me a few days ago. With a lot of good facts and figures about, the masking in schools and what needs to be done, and introduced her group to me because obviously they're in Waukesha, and Waukesha is a super politically charged county because it is one of the top Republican counties in the state of Wisconsin, but also very close to Milwaukee with a lot of professionals, a lot of people in healthcare, a lot of doctors, and that care, that understand COVID. So she wrote a really eloquent message to me, and I was like, I need the viewpoint of a parents organization and to understand what the hell happened between last year when we seemingly were all on the same page about what we needed to do to keep kids safe and this year. So there's a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about, Beth, but I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on what's happened last year versus this year. Why do you think there's a difference? And obviously what your group is trying to accomplish, both, potentially staying out of politics.
So yeah, thank you. Sure. Kirk, thank you so much for having me. And thank you guys all for what you're doing to keep our kids safe. We kind of have a running joke in our group that we said, leave it to a really cool brewery to, save Wisconsin kids. That's a very Wisconsin thing to do.
So, thanks.
But yeah, so we're with this group. We started literally 3 weeks ago, and it's just kind of been off. We've been up and running since that time. And we've really tried to approach this, like you mentioned, a very apolitical approach, because quite honestly, we're just scratching our heads saying, why is this political? We don't understand. We just want our kids to be in-person school. We want them to be safe. And that's kind of the main gist of it. So you asked about last year and the comparison. So last year, our district was incredible. So Elmbrook School District, they were open 5 days a week. One of the first schools to just jump back in after they took, the spring of 2020 off. And then they just jumped back in. And what they did was pretty much a layered risk mitigation approach, which we know works. And, everybody is trying to figure out, how does this work? How does this pandemic, function? And it was kind of like learn as you go. And the whole time, when I say like the layered approach, that's what we're trying to focus on right now. Because honestly, masks, yeah, they're important. And there's tons of studies that point to it. But what we found is it's a lightning rod issue. And we're not even like trying to go there. We're trying to say, let's bring back a variety of things that we did really well. Like having social distancing at lunch, having some contact tracing, making sure the testing is up and running. And you guys probably know and are well aware, but there's federal funding out there for every single school district in the state of Wisconsin that if they want, they can sign up to have their own testing program. And DPI will connect them with the lab, and then they're off and running and they can do their testing program. That's an excellent tool. I've spoken with people at Whitefish Bay, which is just north of Milwaukee. They're, according to what I've seen and seen their return to, school plan, they're doing tons of best practices. And they're essentially doing what we did last year with this layered risk mitigation approach. One of the things that they have done with their testing program. They've made it super robust. And we know that the power tools with public health of testing and doing things like social distancing and quarantining and contact tracing, those things work to get this, get our arms around it, to understand what's going on, where the spread's coming, and to stop it. So going back to Whitefish Bay, their program, they allow all the families in the district access to testing twice a week at different sites that are set up throughout the community. And I think that's brilliant. And that's an example of something that we would love to get to. We want that type of robust programming. But to do that, guess what? You need public health resources. Our public health resources in the county of Waukesha, they all roll up to the health department. And that's where we really need their help. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, whether it's public health nurses for contact tracing or, you know, like a really great testing program, because right now we've got tons of families that are getting these contact notices, contact case notices saying like your kid came in contact with someone who was tested positive. Well, there's no requirement that their kid has to quarantine, that their kid comes to school to wear a mask if they have already had this close contact. And there's no requirement that they get tested. It's kind of like a suggestion at this point. And that's another example of how things are drastically different from last year.
Yeah, Beth. So, before you keep, let me jump in there. So it worked last year. All the parents seemingly were, I don't know if all the parents, but it seemingly there's lots of people who are happy with how things went last year. Why are these things not happening this time around?
Well, I have a theory. So not all the parents were happy with it. We actually had a lawsuit that was brought against our district. And it resulted in the last 17 days of the school year, the mask requirement was lifted and it was mask optional from that point on. And we're all like, what the heck just happened? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Was we were so close to the year finishing up strong. And then we were upset because it was honestly, there were stories of bullying going on amongst kids because you had situations where kids would come to school and they would basically parrot what their parents were saying at home about, you know, various comments regarding yes or no for masks. It just created this whole host of problems that we didn't need or nobody asked for. Now, the other piece about the, you know, why did things change? I think that was a big reason. There was a lawsuit brought against the district, and in this landmine of political craziness, those types of things matter to districts. And you see there's recall efforts for superintendents, for board members. In this day and age, it's got to be like walking on a tightrope and walking on eggshells. And in Wisconsin, we have hyper home rule, and it comes down to each district calling their own shots. That being said, the county and the public health officials, there's statutory authority for them to pull the trigger and to do certain things, because this is a class one communicable disease that we're seeing here. And that triggers their ability to do things like, say, you got to quarantine, you know, so they have tools. We just need them to use them, whether it's that or helping us get public health nurses, you know. So anyways, I kind of went off on a tangent there. If you have another question, let me know.
Did the lawsuit result in anything, or did the school district just fold?
I don't quite know the status of it, honestly, but I know that it kind of spooked them. That's my sense. And I know that, you know, they got us. Here's the other thing. So compared to the other districts in our county, we're very lucky because we at least have the option. If we have kids that are 4K through sixth grade, before school started, the district put a question to us as parents and guardians and said, okay, so we're going to offer three options. You can have a mask required class, a mask optional, which let's be honest, is basically no mask for majority of the people in it. And then the third option is virtual. So the fact that we even had options was really an improvement compared to our neighbors around the county. That being said, you know, it goes back to things like the lunchroom, because that if you pretend that you don't have a pandemic and you have everybody eating next to each other, elbow to elbow, well, guess what? Those 18 minutes, that's going to negate any risk mitigation you had throughout the day of being in class with a mask. Because if you're sitting, if little Johnny is sitting next to little Timmy and Timmy, unbeknownst to him, has COVID, Johnny can get it right there, eating right next to lunch. And guess what? That happened. It happened like 2 weeks ago to some kids. And one of the kids, I know them personally, it's a family friend of mine. He was high risk. And for a year, he didn't go to school. And that was the only place he got it at school was, and it had to not happen at lunch based off of everything that happened. So that's just like one illustration of common sense just out the window. And it's just, you got to be really careful about how you go about doing these things if you want this to work. And we know this from last year, but for some reason, we're just not doing it.
Beth, how are you handling the fact that it really seems like the loudest bullies in the room are suddenly dictating public policy? So it's not necessarily the numbers, but suddenly the quiet parents who stay home and do their thing, but are pro-social and responsible are getting drowned out by this sort of fringe anti-science perspective that's really carrying the day. How have you dealt with that?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, there was earlier this month, there was an article in the Journal Sentinel talking about this. It's actually a nationwide effort that you see, because this agenda that's being pushed, and no mask is just like item number three out of four main topics that they're pushing. It's sweeping across the country, it's sweeping across the state. And it's fascinating, like the psychology behind it, because it's collecting speed and momentum from parents that otherwise just were not, like, didn't care about their school board ever before. So we're seeing this, and we're kind of like zooming out and saying, what is happening? And there's a lot. The thing is, there's a ton of parents that are super rational and saying, like, why is this even a thing? Why is this political? Why is this a problem? And so what we're trying to do is just bring parents together that are within that same mindset and saying, like, okay, let's get together. And right now, we probably in our group, I think we have close to about 300 parents and guardians, and it keeps growing every day. We've got more and more people that are interested. And then from there, we're trying to really collect the thoughts and wisdom from a lot of our healthcare provider parents. We're trying to get their expertise. We're trying to be very professional. We're trying to be partners of the school district. So we're trying to basically be an antidote for that chest beating bullyish approach.
Thanks, Beth. So what I'm hearing is, and I agree wholeheartedly, and we're seeing articles. I think you shared with me an article, and there were other articles shared. So this is an agenda item. This is, unfortunately, the Republican Party. I shouldn't even say that. It's the Trump cult. And I apologize, Beth, you're not here to talk about politics. You're here to talk about keeping kids safe, but I'm talking about politics.
It's your podcast.
The Trump cult has an agenda to get them back into power. And they're like, we need to do this at the grassroots level. We need to do it at school boards and county boards. And so critical race theory is just garbage. It's a garbage thing but it can get people who are slightly racist all riled up. You know, this mask thing, it's garbage science. But it gets people who are slightly wary of the government, you know, and QAnon has made them very wary. Trump has made them very wary of government over, you know, the big brother. It gets them a little riled up. And so these issues are not about the kids. They're not about protecting kids. They're not about schools. They're not about Wisconsin. It's an organized onslaught onto our psychology.
The best way I heard it is AstroTurf politicking. And a lot of these, we talk about super PACs on the other side, they're funding this. That's what we're seeing. And that's that Journal Sentinel article I was telling you about. We know where the money's coming, and we know, I mean, they're basically just looking for parents to plug and play into that agenda, unfortunately.
All right, Beth. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to cut to another break, and we're going to finish with something a little bit more nice, more easy, but you're doing great work, Beth, and we're going to support you all the way, and hopefully people with some sense will be able to rule the day on this. Thank you so much, Beth.
Thank you, guys.